As you will soon hear, this study found that a lifestyle change program proved to be effective when delivered through a national healthcare system. Before beginning these presentations, I do want to let you know that we are audio taping this briefing and have some journalists attending this press briefing over the telephone. For that reason, I'd like to remind our presenters that it will be important to speak into the microphone so the journalists on the phone can hear your comments. And for the journalists on the phone, if you have questions that you would like to ask our presenters, please let the operator know by pressing the star 1 on your telephone keypad. That's star 1 on the telephone keypad. And as time permits, we will do our best to address your questions during this session. And as a final housekeeping note, we will entertain questions and answers after both the presenters have finished presenting, okay? Now, it's my pleasure to introduce our first speaker for this press briefing, Sandra Jackson. She's a PhD candidate in nutrition science at Emory University.
Thank you so much for being here this morning. Intensive lifestyle change programs, such as the Diabetes Prevention Program, have been shown to reduce weight and prevent diabetes. However, in research studies, subjects volunteer to participate and may be highly motivated. In addition, research studies and community programs have generally involved relatively small numbers. It's been suggested that implementing lifestyle change programs within healthcare systems could be a powerful step forward for diabetes prevention. We know little about what can be achieved in healthcare settings, where participants are patients who are recommended to take action, not study volunteers. The VA has developed a program called MOVE, which stands for Managing Overweight and Obesity in Veterans Everywhere. This program has enrolled over 400,000 participants since 2005. That makes it the largest lifestyle change program in the U.S. To analyze MOVE, we use data from a VA system called VINCI. VINCI stands for VA Informatics and Computing Infrastructure, and this system includes data from electronic medical records from VA patients across the country. Among 400,000 MOVE participants, 88% were male, about half were married, two-thirds white, and 22% black. The average age was 57 years. Weight loss was modest but sustained. 135,000 participants with 3 years of follow-up maintain an average of 1.3% body weight loss at 3 years. To examine participants who benefited most from the program, we analyzed active participants. These veterans engaged in intense and sustained participation, attending at least 8 sessions in 6 months and at least 129 days span between the first and the last session. They lost more weight than other participants, 2.7%, which is slightly less than the 3-year weight loss observed in the DPP of 4% at 3 years. 38% of veterans enrolling in the program already had diagnosed diabetes. Veterans with diabetes were more likely to participate actively than veterans without diabetes and lost more weight at 3 years. Among veterans without diabetes at baseline, 3-year incidence of diabetes was 18.7%. We observed a progressive relationship between percent weight change at 6 months and risk of diabetes over 3 years, such that the more weight participants lost in the program, the less likely they were to develop diabetes. Participants who lost any weight at all or maintained weight had 16% lower risk of diabetes over 3 years compared to those who gained weight. We're now beginning to examine the effects of the program comparing participants and eligible non-participants, and so far our results appear promising. Though weight loss results are modest, the VA's MOVE program demonstrates that lifestyle change can be achieved in a large-scale healthcare setting. One limitation of the program is that less than 10% of participants are active participants who receive the full benefit of the program and lose the most weight. So a remaining question is how to encourage participation. Nearly 3/4 of veterans in the VA system are overweight or obese and may benefit from MOVE. Our future research will continue to explore the impact of the program on veterans' health and the VA system. Thank you.
Thank you. It is now my pleasure to introduce Dr. Lawrence Phillips, the professor at Emory University Division of Endocrinology and director of the Clinical Studies Center at the Atlanta VA Medical Center. Dr. Phillips.
I have little to add to Sandra's wonderful work, but there is a useful concept, which is that her analyses indicate that each additional pound lost at 6 months translates to about 1% less diabetes at 3 years.
Wonderful. Okay, we're going to start Q&A. I'd like to remind you that we are audio taping this, and I invite the journalists in the room to ask the questions if you have questions first. Anybody, please. Hope? And wait for the microphones. You got to get the mics before you start talking.
Hope Warshaw, Diabetic Living. Can you just flesh out a little bit, Sandra, what is the content of the program?
Sure. So the program varies a little bit in delivery across VAs in the country. About 130 centers across the country are implementing MOVE within the VA. And the program generally consists of 8 to 12 sessions. They're a rolling admissions basis, so a veteran can show up to any session, and the sessions are independent of each other. But they do cover topics such as nutrition, social support, and different providers cover each of the sessions. And so you might have a nutritionist doing the nutrition session and the social worker doing the social support session, things like that.
But the content of the sessions is modeled after the content in the NIH-supported diabetes prevention program. And that used a much more structured approach. And Sandra can go into some of the nuances of the differences.
Hi, my name is Michael Reardon. I'm with theheart.org. Did you look at, the exercise that the patients undertook? Like, is it walking based? What are they basically doing to get active?
Honestly, that's not in our data set. We're using administrative data, and so we don't have a report of how much their exercise changed. I do know that the participants in the program, some of them, they're veterans. Some are disabled. Some show up in wheelchairs. And so they're taught to find ways that they can exercise that are meaningful and useful and that they're capable of doing. And so it's one difference between this and the DPP is that the MOVE program encourages veterans to set their own goals for what they can achieve and what they want to achieve.
The diabetes and diabetes prevention program emphasize trying to exercise 150 minutes a week, the equivalent of a brisk walk. Some of the veterans will be capable of that. Some may be capable of more, but many, as Sandra described, will be capable of less. And they're encouraged to figure out ways for themselves that they can increase their physical activity.
Other questions from the journalists here? I'd like to yes, please.
Jim Bach, Diabetes Forecast. Were there any incentives for people to participate in the program?
There was a travel reimbursement, I think, from some of the VA facilities. I don't know if all of them do that, but it wasn't really an incentive to participate.
Anybody else?
Hi, Alistair Wilkins from Diatribe. Just out of curiosity, how representative do you feel this veteran population is of the population at large? Obviously I can see how this is closer than the highly motivated volunteers that previous studies, but veterans aren't necessarily the closest match for the population at large in the present time, I guess?
I think that generally the veteran population is older and sicker than the general U.S. population, in which case one might think that they are least likely to benefit from this sort of a program if they're less physically able or less capable. I don't think they're a clear representation of the U.S. population, but this is an example of how this type of a program could be implemented in a healthcare setting.
Yeah, compared to the U.S. population in general, veterans are older, they're more sick, they're more poor. They may have less robust social support systems. They're more likely to be members of a racial and ethnic minority group compared to many Americans. And although they may have been physically fit and very vigorous when they were in the service, they're veterans now. and many are have disabilities of one kind or another, and many are quite overweight.
I'd just like to add a comment in response to what you asked. I mean, there's, what, 79, 80 million people at risk for diabetes, and we need every modality that we can come up with to address this scary and growing epidemic. So I find this a very refreshing and exciting study, actually, that it took an institutionalized approach and came up with a program that, while it's not universal, it doesn't work for everybody, it works for quite a few. And that's a tremendous stride forward from my personal perspective.
And while every community may or may not have a YMCA or a community center that can do this, most Americans are receiving health care. And many of them are part of a health care system, and the Affordable Care Act is moving toward this. Large health care systems now operate on a fee-for-service basis. The more you do, whether it's bypass or office visits, the more money you make. With the Affordable Care Act, there's going to be more emphasis on keeping people healthy and on preventive management. And that's really what we want to do. If we can find the problem early at the stage of prediabetes, as Dr. Marrero said, there's 70, 80 million people with prediabetes. If we can do these things to help keep them from developing diabetes, it's better for everyone and it's cheaper. The diabetes prevention program showed that management with either lifestyle change or medication was cost effective and in some instances cost saving over a 10-year period. It's almost as if we can't afford not to do these things.
I see that there's no questions by telephone.
Hope? Hope Warshaw again from Diabetic Living. Dr. Phillips, you gave a statistic about weight loss and progression to diabetes, I think. And I just wanted, David, if you could do the comparison statistic from the DPP.
I'm a little fuzzy on this.
Okay, Dr. Phillips, you gave a statistic about the amount of weight loss in the study when you spoke.
In general terms, each additional pound of weight that was lost at 6 months corresponded to about 1% less diabetes 1%. At 3 years.
Okay.
I don't know the corresponding numbers from the diabetes prevention program. In that program, which was very expensive and very intensive, there was more weight lost and probably a greater impact on less diabetes at 3 years and at 10 years. I don't know how the weight loss and the diabetes exactly corresponded between the two. There are also substantial differences between the diabetes prevention program and what the VA did. Sandra, maybe you'd like to develop that further? In terms of who was eligible and so forth.
Well, yeah, I mean, in MOVE, people who even already had diabetes were eligible. So it was actually, to get into the MOVE program, you had to either be obese or overweight with a weight-related condition, and those included diabetes or hypertension, things like that. And so also, since we were using administrative data, there could be undiagnosed diabetes even among the people who we think didn't have it at the time when they enrolled. And so I'm sure the comparisons between us and DPP will be substantially different. But
Hope,
yeah,
I think
in the diabetes prevention program, when you do science, you have to begin, when you're breaking the ice and you're leading the field, you have to begin with a very carefully defined population. So the diabetes prevention program involved individuals who had prediabetes of a certain level of severity, defined according to two separate glucose tolerance tests. In MOVE, you were eligible if you were obese already with a BMI of 30 or overweight with a BMI of 25, if you had hypertension or diabetes or coronary disease or some other weight-related condition. They didn't have glucose tolerance tests at baseline. The diagnosis of diabetes was made on clinical grounds by the patient's providers of care over time. We validated that within the VA. We know that if a provider, primary care provider, says that someone has diabetes, uses the diabetes code in the patient's electronic record, that corresponds to development of more clinically apparent diabetes over time. So I don't think the diagnosis itself can be questioned. If anything, it's a conservative criterion for diabetes. But since the patient populations weren't quite the same, the interventions weren't quite the same, it's very difficult to compare them. One very interesting finding that Sandra has made already in her analysis of the data is that with the diabetes prevention program, on average, there was about 7% of body weight lost at, I think, 6 months, fairly early on. And then there was progressive regain over time. With the MOVE program, which emphasizes a strategy called motivational interviewing, which is emphasized by nursing services and other groups across the country, patients are encouraged to set their own goals, encouraged to think about where they want to be with their health and how to get there, what strategies are important. In the MOVE program, patients tended to lose weight and then keep it off. And at least over 3 years of analysis, there wasn't a lot of tendency to weight regain. So it'll be very interesting to go deeper into the details of what the responses of the patients were, but we don't have those analyses yet.
Hope, I think the comparison you're looking for is in the DPP. It was calculated, I may be off on this a little bit, but for every kilogram of weight loss, there was approximately 11% reduction in risk. And I've seen 13%, but I'd have to really look at the data. But the bottom line is all weight loss is good. You know, it's all beneficial. It all helps improve status, and whether it be in the MOVE population or in a more stringently defined group like the DPP. So, any other questions? Well, then
I would encourage those who want more detail to come to Sandra's presentation this afternoon.
Thank you. I want to thank you all for attending and thank our presenters for sharing this information with us. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.